so easily distracted, where that the eye has become more important than the ear. We want to see rather than to hear. Amen. But you know what we hear? We hear what we listen for. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that word proceeds is a continual thing. A continual flowing is the word proceed there. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. In other words, there's a difference in hearing audibly and hearing spiritually. The word of God, not only the preacher reaches you audibly, but he must also reach you with that other dimension, and that is by hearing comes by the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. So I thank God for him. Matter of fact, it reminds me of the situation of a man. You know, some people really just don't hear like they ought to hear in this generation. The Bible talks about they come dull of hearing. Praise God. And reminds me of the guy that he thought his wife was losing her hearing. So he decided he'd test it out one day. He stepped into a room where she's at, and she's sitting facing away from him. He stands at the far side of the room and says in a natural voice, can you hear me? Nothing. So he steps a little bit closer and says, can you hear me? Still nothing. So he steps about halfway to the middle of the room. Can you hear me? Still nothing. So he finally stands right behind her chair and says, can you hear me now? She says, for the fourth time, yes. Praise God. But we're going to go to the word of the Lord. By the way, the reason I don't use an iPad to preach from, don't get stiff on me. It's bad enough when people go to sleep on you. But it's really bad when your notes go to sleep. The iPad turns off and goes black. And so I don't want my notes going to sleep on me, so I got these other here. If you'll stand with us, please. We're turning to the book of Acts. Acts, the 10th chapter. Reading at verse 9. I would also like to say that his brother Epley mentioned that I'm glad to have my daughter and her husband, Pastor Daniels, pastoring in Shreveport, and his mother, who was the first lady there for over 30 years as their husband was pastor, such a wonderful and very kind man, and I was so glad to have been able to have known him. But we're glad they're here, my two grandchildren. So if there's any commotion in the back, it'll be them. But we're glad they're here. And, of course, my wife, glad she's here also and able to be here this year. Acts chapter 10, reading at verse 9. Familiar territory, I'm sure, to you. Ninth verse. 10th chapter, book of Acts. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've not eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. I'd like to call your attention to one other reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2 of this prophetic voice from Isaiah. "And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Praise the Lord. Amen. The connection of those two things maybe is not as obvious at the moment, but hopefully by the time we finish here today, we will knit them together. Praise the Lord. And in Acts there where it said, "And there was a great sheet let down or descending unto Peter," of course, from God. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Just simply God's great sheet. God's great sheet. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here. If you would please, Lord, we do come to you, looking unto you as the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that you hold all things together by your word. Touch this house, touch every heart, every mind. Let us leave refreshed in the mercy and grace of our God, and that we might give thee praise more abundantly. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You have to admit that the situation in Acts 10 is a very, very unusual situation that transpired between God and the Apostle Peter. I many times had read over that section of Scripture, and many times I don't think that I really caught on as much to it as really I needed to do. There is a background in the Old Testament of clean and unclean. There is such a volume of verses that detail and describe and the differences between the clean and the unclean. There are two notable places, especially in the Old Testament, where this is so aptly and clearly seen. And that is in the book of Leviticus and the 11th chapter. And then again in the book of Deuteronomy, where it is rehearsed once again. But in Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, the word unclean is in there about 100 times. And the word clean about 75 times. Maybe you are familiar enough to remember some of the distinctions that God made. This was not something that originated with man. This was something that originated solely with God. And that he made the distinctions of clean and unclean. And of course, in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, that the emphasis there is upon the animal kingdom that is in description there. Some of the unclean, of course, one of the first one that most everybody can recall is, of course, pork that is in that category. And believe it or not, rabbits are in there. Praise the Lord. Rabbits and camels and animals with paws, you know, like dogs and cats, etc. And then it talks about the creeping things like mice and lizards and snakes. All of those are classified by God as being unclean. And then it talks about the fowls of the air, the vulture and the owl and the hawk and the stork were all unclean. And another flying mammal was the bat that, of course, also was unclean. Most all the insect kingdom is unclean, the exception being the hoppers, the grasshopper, the locust, and the cricket. You recall that John the Baptist was an eater of locusts. Praise God. The first distinction, though, now this is the law, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14 is the law. But the first distinction in your Bible between clean and unclean goes way back to Genesis chapter 7, where that it is that Noah receives his instructions from God to do a very, very surgical procedure about what he took on the ark. And that was, he was to take 7 pairs of the clean and 2 pairs of the unclean. Praise the Lord. That is, the most times you hear Noah talked about, it's always 2 by 2, but that's not what the Bible said. Amen. There's 7 of the unclean, leaving 1 odd. 1 odd in the 7. That's 2 by 2, making 6 of 3. Pairs making 6, and then there's 1 odd. The reason there's 1 odd of the clean is because when that ark comes to rest, eventually there's going to be a sacrifice of every clean animal unto God in there. That was a sacrifice. Let me tell you, that was already on board. Not only did God have on board all the provision that Adam or that Noah and his family would ever need, but he also had provision for worship. That's the way it ought to be in our life. That, let me tell you, God didn't close us into something that we can't live. All the provision you have is in Him. We are complete in Him. Praise the Lord. But in that phrase, waiteth for thee in Zion. We ought not have to be pumped up and cheerleaded into getting people to worship God. Praise ought to be waiting on God. Praise the Lord. It ought to be already spewing forth and coming out. Praise the Lord. That's the way that it ought to be. Praise the Lord. But that's the first distinction that is made. And that's well before the law. Well before the law that is done. Now the question is, how does Noah, since he does not have Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14, how does he know which to sort out and which to say 7 clean and 2 unclean? Praise the Lord. Why is that from the very beginning, at least from the fall, that there was this distinction made? It's made because Noah knew how to make the distinction. And it came into fruition in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, but it was already in existence. It was already nomenclatured by God. Praise the Lord. And Noah knew which ones were which. Now in the beginning, that the Bible said it, when God looked down upon all that He created, it was all good. But with the fall, amen, there had to be some divisions that were made. Sin caused divisions. Amen. Automatically, there was something set up in the order of God that said this is clean and this is unclean. After the fall that took place when Adam and Eve transgressed against God. Now, also remember this, when we're talking about animals here, there's really not such a thing as good animals and evil animals. evil by nature. That's not what is going on here at all. But God is drawing out some distinctions for a reason. He is going to be illustrative to man. He gave all His laws for good reasons. They teach us about His standards. They teach us how to distinguish right from wrong. They teach us how to distinguish good from evil and beneficial from harmful. Amen. They teach us to distinguish the holy, that which God sets apart unto Himself, and from the unholy, that which He pushes away from Himself. In Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 23, "And they shall teach My people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." I'm telling you, there is still the need for distinctions. There is still the need to make divisions. Amen. Let me tell you, until this church gets out of here, until God raptures it out of here, there's going to have to be some lines drawn. Going to have to be some distinctions made. And that's still the power and the important job of the ministry in this hour. Amen. I heard this sister talk about she did it by obedience. Thank God. Amen. Somebody said, "This is clean and that's unclean." Let me tell you, we're living in a world that doesn't like distinctions, that doesn't like the line of demarcation drawn. But there's some things that the preacher just has to say, "We're not going to have that here. We're not going to put up with it here." Amen. It's not right, never will be right, and we will not entertain it. Praise the Lord. This was a God-given thing. God gave that. Amen. And if you really begin to understand the vision of Peter, you really understand we're not really talking about animals, even though animals are portrayed in that vision. It's not talking about animals. It's talking about people. Praise the Lord. Peter was in Joppa. He'd been raised from the dead just previous to this. And then he came to stay at Simon the Tanner's house. And while they're preparing the meal, he goes on the rooftop. This is about noontime. And he became very hungry. I personally believe that was a God-induced hunger. I believe God turned up his appetite for a reason, praise the Lord. And he went into a trance and began to have a vision. And what happens next is truly remarkable in many, many ways. Because in that vision, it says he saw a vessel. Everybody say vessel. And it was like a great sheet. The wording here is very important. Vessel. He saw a certain vessel. Like a great sheet, amen, and vessel, amen, in its literal meaning, first and original meaning, means to cover. It is also used in the Bible, as you know well, to specify an individual specifically. He is a chosen vessel unto me. I believe that in this situation, that is a compound of both covering and an individual. A man shall be a hiding place or a covering from the wind. Amen. That individual becomes the covering, and that man is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Y'all still with me here today? Amen. But it says, like a great sheet, and the word sheet is literally the word fine linen. And then the wording also descending. Peter, remember, is not in the house. He is on the rooftop. Amen. A great sheet descends like a covering. Amen. On that roof. Does that remind you of anything? Does it somehow spark your mind a little bit? And then the four corners of that sheet are knit together and is full of beasts of every kind. Amen. Let me also make this clear here. Usually people think that every beast in there was the unclean. That is not what it says, and you can find that to be the fact when you read on about what Peter says in response to God. In that sheet is beast of every kind. Praise the Lord. That means that there are beasts that are by nomenclature of God designated to be unclean. But there was also that which was clean, but they are now, since they are in conjunction with the unclean, they are now common. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, what's the difference? Well, something that you need to understand is that the unclean, like in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, are described by their kind. Amen. But the kind that also is distinguished as being clean, if they're in association, amen, with the unclean, then they become common. Praise the Lord. That means that something can be common. It can be ceremonially unclean. You remember what happened to the priest? Even if his garment touched that which was unclean, he became common. Even because of his association with the unclean. And so everything in that sheet, amen, from appearance is, even though that there are those that are normally, if they've been separated, they would have been clean. But because of their association and touching of the unclean, then they become common. So you have two groups, and that is common and unclean. And in Peter's vision, that sheet contained both common and unclean. Unclean by distinction and common by polluted by association with the unclean. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? Amen. Then the command is given. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Praise God. And that is why Peter answers like he does. He looks at that crowd of animals and realizes that there are some of them that would normally be edible. They were clean by kind, but because of their contact with the unclean, it rendered them common. That is why Peter says what he says. Amen. He says to the Lord, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten that which is common or unclean. Praise the Lord that both kinds are in that situation. If you can get a hold of what I'm telling you, is again, we're not talking about animals. We're talking about people. Even if that which is clean is associated with that which is unclean, the clean becomes, the unclean doesn't become clean, but the clean becomes common or ceremonially unclean. That's why we don't go some places that the world goes. That's why we don't participate in some things the world participates in, because we desire our sanctity in the house of God. Praise the Lord. But they were both in this situation. Nay, Lord, I have never eaten that which is common or unclean. And of course, God replies, call thou not common what I have cleansed. Now, if God makes that statement, it means two things. It means that he has eradicated the common pollution from those, but he's also cleansed the unclean. Because now then, for them to be cleansed, amen, they are in association no longer with the unclean, but everything in the sheet is clean. Praise the Lord. That's why God says, rise, kill and eat. Just pick out anything in there. Take the pork, take this, take the rabbit, take the whatever it is. You can eat of it. Amen. If you're one of those that's still on the pork message, you need to catch up a little bit here. Praise the Lord. Because God has made it clean. Thank God for bacon. This was the third hour, or the sixth hour, rather. Now, in the Jewish system, the times were not 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock so much. But they had hours of the day and hours of the night that went through. And the sixth hour, of course, would have been noontime. That's when Peter went up on that housetop. And that's important to know. Amen. Because that there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And the interval between them was noon. Praise the Lord. Also, it was at that time when, remember, when Jesus is crucified, it's at noon hour. And when the skies turn dark and everything went black, that was noontime. It had already been the third hour, which was the morning sacrifice. And yet the evening sacrifice, which would have been at 3 p.m., was yet to come. And here it was at that time that Peter is on that top of that rooftop. The time of when that Jesus is on that cross and the skies turn black, when he says in that essence that he is there hanging there for our sin and hanging there for our transgressions, as Isaiah has told us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in Exodus 29 and verse 39, you will see that it says that there were to be two lambs. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even time. Praise the Lord. Jesus is crucified in that morning. At noon, the skies turn black. And in at the 3 p.m. is when that he said that he gave up the ghost. Praise the Lord. And died upon that cross. Because it was a shame for them to hang upon that cross into the evening time. Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a cross. Praise the Lord. You got to get the distinction here. There's a reason for why the time is significant. Amen. This is talking about Calvary. It's talking about the Lamb of God. Then it was the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. He is the totality of all sacrifices. Jesus Christ is the supreme and total sacrifice for mankind. Praise the Lord. That'll come into essence a little bit more here a little bit later. But three things occurred. These times that, you know, three must have been an important number in Peter's life. He denied the Lord three times. Praise God. And Jesus asked him, lovest thou me? Three times. Praise God. And then now this sheet comes down. Presented, raised up, comes down, presented, raised up, comes down. Three times it is done. Now, you must realize this. Peter, no doubt, thinks this is a test. After all, this is a God thing. God's the one that designated Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 and made those distinctions. And told the Jews, you don't eat this and you don't eat that because it is unclean. And this is clean and you can partake of it. Amen. So no doubt Peter thinks this is a test because this is a God thing. He's a devout Jew. He said, never, Lord, have I ever eaten that which is common or unclean. But there's more to this. This is not a test to see if Peter's going to stick with the division of clean and unclean, and pass the test. God said, I'm just testing to see if there's more to this. God is working a new work. God is doing a new thing in the earth. So what's going on here? We understand, because we look at it from the vantage of a place in the scripture. In other words, we can view it from an eye view that Peter could not, that he didn't understand that coming down that road was a Gentile. He didn't understand that just a little while ago, a man that Cornelius by name has prayed until his prayers has come up by memorial, a Gentile, an unclean according to the Jews. Amen. And there he sent an embassy of individuals to go to Peter. And they're coming down that road, and at the very moment that Peter is getting this vision, they're getting close to the house. And God says, call not thou common that which I have cleansed. And we understand that Peter is the holder of the keys of the kingdom. He had to preach it on the day of Pentecost to open the door to the Jews. And everybody that was at it were Jews thus far. But now then God's fixing to bring the Gentile bride into the church. And the only one that can open that door is the Apostle Peter. Amen. He's got to go down to Cornelius' house. Amen. He's got to understand what God's saying. He said, I'm putting in the same sheet. I'm putting the clean and the unclean. But because they're in the sheet, amen, they're both clean now. Amen. Don't you call common that which I have cleansed. Amen. And when he went down to that house, amen, Peter began to preach to them. And I still like what it says. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, hey, can anybody forbid water, seeing they got the Holy Ghost just like we did? Aren't you glad the Gentiles got in on this? In other words, now that the Gentiles are not going to corrupt the church, now the Jews are not going to be corrupted by the which had been the unclean Gentile and make the Jews common. Now then they are both cleansed. Amen. And their entry into the church will not defile nor make common the clean. Now, I find it remarkable that God used a sheet to present the animals to Peter. If you don't find, most of the time, the sheet's overlooked. Just a sheet. But I want to tell you, I believe everything in me that it's the sheet that is vital in this vision. It is the most vital part of the vision. It is the sheet that is there. I find it very hard not to see a correlation between Peter's sheet and the coverings and curtains which form the roof. Everybody say roof. Roof of the tabernacle. I just can't get it out of my mind that that's so hooked together. It is the sheet where these animals are now cleansed. The sheet is the cleansing agent. The sheet is the vital part. If it had just been the animals just portrayed on the ground, that wouldn't have done it. But God sends down a great sheet, knit at four corners, and when he opens it up, amen, there were those animals that he has cleansed. In other words, the animals without the sheet are unchanged. But the sheet is what makes the difference in this situation. It is the vessel, amen, that changes the distinction of that which was unclean unto cleansed. Amen. And I'd like you also to see that Peter does not just say a sheet, but he says a great sheet. Amen. That means a very large sheet. Y'all still hanging on here with me? Amen. The smallest covering or sheet of the tabernacle, amen, was 42 feet by 60 feet. Amen. That was the smallest of the curtains that was there. And Peter says, I saw a great sheet coming down. Hallelujah. And in that great sheet, there was a transformation that was made of these animals. Something's changed them. And I believe you'll find the power of that sheet in the typology of the four sheets of the tabernacle. There were four different layers, which you're probably aware. You can be seated. There was an outer covering, a weather-beaten, rough badger skin. Under it was ram skin dyed red. And then the third layer down was a curtain of goat's hair. And then there was an inner curtain. The final and fourth layer are the first from the inside going up. Amen. Which was fine linen embroidered with blue and purple and scarlet and cherubim. Embroidered in that, a heavenly view. Amen. You get the combined types of those four coverings, and you will understand why this changed the unclean to the clean. You'll see why it takes the commonness away, and that the distinction now is just all of them are okay in the hands and in the power of God Almighty. Praise the Lord. And so let's begin here with the badger skins. Exodus 36 and verse 19. And it says, and he make a covering for the tent of the ram skin dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. In other words, the badger skin is the one that is the seen part of the tabernacle from the exterior. It is gray, weather beaten, amen, rough and ugly. Praise the Lord. There is only one other reading or reference to badger skin in your Bible, and that's in Exodus 16 and verse 10, where that when they were coming in that wilderness, amen, at one time it says that God shod them with badger skins. In other words, He made shoes that were tough for them to wear. Amen. They were made out of badger skin. So what you see is that this outer covering, this outer sheet, amen, is a very ugly and a very not pretty thing to look at. To the heathen passing by along the tabernacle, it looked like any other tent in the world. Amen. It looked like every other ordinary of weather-beaten badger skin is all they could see. They could never have suspected, amen, that somewhere beneath that terrible rough border of the badger skin, there were 8,400 pounds of brass, there were 8,400 pounds of silver, there were 2,400 pounds of gold, there were hundreds of yards of expensive materials, and literally millions of dollars of treasure that was beneath that badger skin. But that's all they could see. Amen. No wonder that Isaiah 53 said, He hath no form nor comeliness. The word comeliness means beauty. Then when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men. He is despised and we esteemed Him not, because all they saw was the badger skins. Hallelujah. No one who saw only the badger skin exterior could have conceived that it was the dwelling place of God Almighty. You go to Europe and you'll find the cathedrals. Oh, how elaborate and how massive and how elaborate they try to make them. But God dwelt in a badger skin tent. Matter of fact, The Bible tells us that in him dwelt. The word dwelt is the word tabernacled. In him tabernacled bodily the fullness of the Godhead. There's still only one God. If you think there's two, you better catch up on your arithmetic. There's only one. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Praise the Lord. That's why it was that when Jesus ushered himself into this world, the Jews looked at only the badger skin. And by the things he said, they knew there's something that he's saying here. Until they accused him, you being a man, you're making yourself God. They always got it backwards. They didn't get it. The real story was he being God made himself man. Amen. They said, you look just like us. But again, they got it wrong. Amen. The real story is they look like him. For God made man in his own image. Praise the Lord. Amen. They got it all backwards all the time. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, when you just see the badger skins, there's no beauty to this. You got to get deeper. You got to understand there's something beyond just that outward flesh. That's why that rough and plain weather beaten outer sheet was not all there was to the tabernacle. It covered three other sheets beneath it. Amen. The second covering that was beneath it, beneath the badger skin, was a covering of ram skin dyed red. Ram skin dyed red. The first mention of a ram in your Bible. Have you know where it's at? It's also in Genesis. Genesis 22. Abraham and his son. They got wood. They got fire. They got a sharp knife. And they make that journey to that mountain. And as they start trudging up there, the boy says, "Hey, Dad," because he knew the what it took to have sacrifice. He knew what it took to give an offering to God. He said, "Dad, did you forget something? We got wood, we got fire, we got a knife, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham prophetically makes one of the most beautiful prophetic statements of the Bible. God shall provide himself a sacrifice. It didn't say that God's going to make a sacrifice or that God will lend us a sacrifice. It said God shall make himself a sacrifice. Well, praise the Lord. Even that's the first mention that is that God will supply himself a sacrifice. In other words, that ram's blood or ram skin dyed red, the first thing about it is about substitution. You better be glad there's something called substitution in this glorious salvation. Amen. That ram was used to consecrate a priest. It was used for a burnt offering. Amen. And Jesus is our great, not just high priest, but he's our great high priest. Praise the Lord. That's why it says in Hebrews 7 and verse 26, for such a high priest became us, or one that we needed, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, even when he offered up himself. Amen. God supplied himself as his own sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Do you hear what I'm telling you? That's why it's in a sheet. That's why it's in ram skin. That's why it's in badger skin. A great sheet. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2 and verse 8 says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even unto the death of the cross. Praise the Lord. Amen. What we have is, he came as the righteous to die for the unrighteous. He came, this substitution, you hear me? That substitution. He came as the holy to die for the unholy. He came as a sinless to die for the sinful. He came as a just to die for the unjust. And that's me and you, you hear me? Amen. And somebody said, Jesus took my place on Calvary. He didn't take your place. You didn't have done anything on Calvary. It was His place. And He said that it was there for one reason. And He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If there's any hope for humanity, there has to be a great street of redemption. I may bore you in reading some scripture, but hey, this is Bible class. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, that means made alive, by the Spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Jesus became sin for us. Praise the Lord. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's in that sheet, you hear me? That's why these animals are changed. That's why the unclean becomes cleansed. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Galatians 1:4, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Romans 5:8, and God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And wonderfully, Isaiah 53:6, and we all like sheep have went astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Praise the Lord. He absorbed all of it. That's why He said, Father, let this cup pass from Me. But that's not going to be done. He became sin that we might be free. Ramskin. Ramskin. But it's not just ramskin. It's ramskins dyed red. Hallelujah. A ram, by the way, is a male sheep, not a goat. Dyed red. Dyed red. You're not redeemed. With corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Way back in Isaiah. It said, who is this who comes from Edom? In crimson garments from Bozar. He who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Amen. That's why that it couldn't just be skin. Amen. Jesus had to go to Calvary. Amen. He could not redeem us by just showing up on earth. There had to be the blood that stained the skin. Praise the Lord. That is why when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, amen, across His head, that was the crown of thorns pressing into His brow, and the blood trickled down. But the real fountain is the one that guard opens up. Amen. With a spear from the side, and there's a fountain opened in Zion, and for without came water and blood. Thank God for the blood. It still washes white as snow. Amen. A ram skin dyed red. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you beginning to see why God's great sheet has the power to cleanse the unclean? This is why God showed Peter this vision. Hallelujah. Beneath the ram skin dyed red was a curtain of goat's hair. Numbers 28:22. And one goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Again, that's why in the goat hair, it is the sin offering. It is the ram skin is substitution. The goat is for the sin offering itself. In other words, he became sin himself. He who knew no sin became sin, it says. That's why Jesus cried on Calvary. I would never have understood it. Amen. Matter of fact, Trinitarians, amen, really get in a quandary about this one. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the goatskin saying, I have become sin that they might be free. Hallelujah. You remember how it was? It was that time of year when they let out two goats. This one is what they call the scapegoat or the e-scapegoat. The other one, which you don't hear a whole lot about, is the one that's going to make it possible for the other one to escape. They take one goat and they slay it. They take his blood, and on the other one they pour it down his back, staining that other goat with the blood of the one that just died. Now, in Jesus' situation, he's not the scapegoat. You're the scapegoat. You're the scapegoat. He's the one that died that the other might go free. If there had been no Calvary, and if there had been no resurrection, we have believed in vain. Even we preached in vain. But thank God we can preach today that Jesus died and rose again. Amen. And it takes all of that. That is why Jesus' name, baptism, is so essential to your salvation. Amen. You got to go down in like similitude. Amen. Rise to walk in newness of life at the resurrection of that Holy Ghost in filling. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus is not the one who went free. He's the one who died that the other goat could escape and be free. And then finally, underneath the goat's hair covering was the innermost covering, fourth layer down, which you would have seen from the inside only, which was fine linen with blue and purple and scarlet and cherubim embroidery within it. The word there, pure white, means bright. Bright sheet. The whiteness of it was very bright. It makes my mind go back to that time on that hill when suddenly the badger skin peeled away. The ram skin peeled away. The goat skin rolled back. And suddenly Jesus was transfigured before them as they saw the innermost covering of he who was God became flesh, of he that robed himself in flesh to come to this world to redeem us from our sin. Hallelujah. This is the great sheet. These in combination are the great sheet that descends from heaven. Amen. That makes the difference in these lives. Praise the Lord. That is why it is a great sheet that is shown to Peter. You understand? The sheet's a significant thing here. It's the most important part of the whole vision is the sheet. And you've just not even talked about much, but it's a sheet because it's a thing that descends from God. Amen. It's a thing that comes just like it was on the tabernacle. This descended. Once you get the golden walls up and once you get the furniture on the inside, it's not complete until the great sheets descend and make the roof on the top. Amen. This ain't got a top. You hear me? It not only has golden walls, but it's got a covering of the power of Jesus Christ. That's why it was a great sheet. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Just for in closing here in just a few moments. Come help me, Elder, if you would, please. Just take that out of there. Some of you men, get me those four chairs right there, please. Bring them right over here in the center. I need four tall young men. There's one. Come on, you're tall enough. How about you, brother? Come help, brother. Come on, brother. Now let's set them up like this. I want one here. One here and the other, just like that. Yeah, just like that. You four that were counted, you come over here. And I'm going to need four other helpers here. I need a ranked, out of the world, filthy sinner. Come on, you come help me with that. I want you to get right here. No, I don't want you to sit down. I want you to kneel at that altar right there. Just get right there. Kneel at that altar. Sinner that's come to God. All his sin. Every foul thing. He can't help himself, brother. Even with all of his desire to try to make everything right, he'll never change himself. Even if he gets up there and said, I'm going to live as good as I can, you won't save him. In the eyes of God, he's still a sinner. Come here, young man. I need a backslider. Get right here and down at that other, right there. Kneel down and repent of your backsliding. Messing around with God. And again, believe it or not, if you ever let the enemy tell you that you can come back anytime you think you can, you need to get serious with God. If you think you can just pull the lever and make everything right, you better think again. It takes the same kind of repentance this man's doing to make that backslider get where he needs to be. Praise the Lord. You help me, young man. Get right over there. Another sinner. Need one more for a stumbling and saint that's tripped up and got kind of out of, not maybe in a backslidden condition, but I mean has fouled up situation. One more. Come on, brother. Thank you. And they're going to, These people are truly repenting. These sinners are saying, God, I don't want to go back. This backslider said, never again. The stumbling saint says, God, rescue me. I've dirtied my experience by doing what I shouldn't have done. Well, I'm in the altar again tonight. I want you, brother, and four of you to take a corner of each sheet. I want you to just stretch it out between you. Hallelujah. Take one corner each. I just back up that way for a moment. Now I want you to reach as high as you can over your head with it. Right now, the enemy can walk up here and say, go ahead, repent. Ain't going to do you no good. Go ahead, repent. You're still a sinner. You're still a backslider, even though you're trying to make things right. And even though you've failed, nothing's going to get resolved here with this. But descending from God. Right now, the enemy can see a sinner, a backslider, and a failing saint. Things are fixing to change now because when repentance takes place and truly restitution, just walk this way a little bit. Keep the sheep real high. Walk right over them. I want you to put Acts 10 back up there for me, please. Verse 9.
Skip on down. Skip on down. And saw, hold it right there. And saw heaven opened and a great vessel descended upon him as it had been a great sheet. Substitution. Jesus Christ that came in the flesh, the badger skin, the sin sacrifice, the beautiful heavenly view of Jesus as God Almighty, and the linen on the inside. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. As a priest that walked underneath the tabernacle, all he could see was that fine linen. This is still a revelation. You got to get on the inside to see it. Outside, all you see is badger skin, but on the inside, you see the beautiful power of Jesus Christ in all His glory. Sinners all, backsliders, failing saints. But that situation's fixing to change because descending from God. Come on down. Come on down. A sheet. Now then, devil, what do you see? Now, devil, what do you see? Where's the sinner? Where's the backslider? All I can see is a great sheet. All I can see is the crimson blood of Jesus Christ. All I can see is the substitute, the glory of God. I see no more sinner. Call not thou unclean, which I have cleansed. Aren't you glad that the sheet came into your life? Thank you. Thank you. And in real reality, in our world and in our life as living for God, this is the way we live, beneath the covering of the great sheet of God. Thank you, brethren. Let's stand, would you please. Hallelujah. Call not thou unclean what I have cleansed. Hallelujah. I'd like to just take just a moment here today. Maybe there are some backsliders in this building today. Maybe there are those that do not know Him and the power of His might. You can have the great sheet descend unto you here today. How about a failing saint that's tripped up and made mistakes and the devil's fixing to parade you right through the door into backslider territory? Won't you change it all right here, right now, and find a place down here and say, God, cover me with your great sheet of blood, with your great sheet of redemption, with your great sheet of substitution, that you paid the price that I might be made free. Let's pray, saints. Would you pray right now?
Creeping over me, I see a crimson streak of blood that flows from God. Our sweet